Philadelphia, are you ready?
No! He said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome to Brotherly Love Wrestling and our first, obviously, experience here on Twitch. We're bringing our show, our weekly show that we do, to Twitch, and it will be everywhere it always is on YouTube, Anchor, and all the other places. But here, we're live. And we want to talk to everybody.
We're live.
Talk. That's not even nice. That's not nice at all.
But how high pitched you got, though. We're live. Mr. Excitement One, howdy. Howdy, partner.
So, you want to kick the show off with what's going on and the WWE and the WWE draft, which has sent all kinds of superstars different ways where we thought maybe certain storylines were going to happen, and then now they've broken up.
Can I just start by saying I don't like the way that they do their draft? I think they have, like, the blueprint. Like, everyone has put together the blueprint of drafts in the past. Like, I just don't like what they do with their draft.
Would you want it to be more NFL? Like, more legit?
If they want to do a full night and dedicate it to the draft, yeah, I'd be okay with that.
And, like, commissioners for each show?
Yes, definitely. GM or commissioner, anything like that. It's just, it's gotten so far from where it was that it just feels... And I know it's wrestling, so it's all scripted, but it just feels so unauthentic.
Yeah, it's very forced. It's very quick. The one thing I think you look forward in the draft is, all right, Raw picks, and now SmackDown may have wanted that superstar. So now they got to scramble to pick their next superstar because they didn't know that was coming. When you do Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw, there's no give and take. There's no, damn, I wanted Drew McIntyre. Now we got to pick someone else. You know what I mean?
I don't even think it's so much that. It's a negative point to it, but I just don't see any excitement in anyone that they're drafting. Like, I think that everyone's got so played out that there's no excitement behind who you're drafting anymore. Like, there's, like, no loyalty to brand. Like, remember the Undertaker when he got fucking drafted and he was fucking livid and you could feel that? Like, it's just, you don't have that anymore. And that's why I feel like the draft, to me, and I know probably to other people too, that's why it just doesn't feel authentic anymore, because there's no one that I really care if they go either way. Like, I don't care where Bray Wyatt goes. Like, I don't care really where Braun Strowman ends up. Like, it's not exciting. Like, they've been so watered down and been so held back and rebuilt and deteriorated again. I mean, it's just that they're not exciting anymore. Like, there's no one that you can fully invest in and be like, ooh, I care where they go because I want to see these fresh matchups. Nothing's fresh.
Well, would you be more excited if NXT was included?
That, at least, yeah, here. Because here's what WWE always banks on is the element of surprise. They love the element of surprise. If you add NXT in there, yes, there's going to be a lot of people that are pissed off if someone from NXT gets drafted to the main roster, but at least there's a surprise to it. At least it's a genuine reaction, like, oh, fuck, I'm pissed off that Tommaso Ciampa got drafted to fucking SmackDown. Like, that actually invokes a reaction. Like, no one really cares where anyone's going. At least if it's, you have feelings, you're invested.
See, I don't know. I think that, Not to single you out, but I think there is a fan group like-minded as you.
There's people that exist that are like me.
That like-minded as far as
God help you all.
But no, like, with that, I think a lot more people are, I don't want to say invested, but I think they have their favorites and they're used to watching a certain show with that favorite. So when you have Kevin Owens go and The Fiend come over, like,
You're thinking, I'm thinking way too negatively about it.
Yeah, I think there's still fans that go, damn, I didn't want The Fiend and Kevin Owens on different shows because I wanted that feud to happen. Or you didn't want certain people on Raw because you think Raw booking sucks and they're going to suck, but SmackDown's better. Like, there are people out there that are feeling that way when they're watching. I know that you're not as invested in WWE as you've been in the past. So I think that's kind of affecting your feeling as well.
Yeah, but I feel like what brings you back in and what will bring someone that might be on the fence with them back in is that, oh, I still keep up with NXT, so we'll bring some of them up. And now that reinvests people. I mean, I think you take my negative outlook on it, but you turn it into a positive, and now people are more invested to see, like, okay, Adam Cole got drafted to Raw, but the rest of the Undisputed Era stayed on Smack or on NXT. Like, now you've taken one of the biggest names in NXT and you put them on the main roster. Now you've kind of been like, okay, I like Adam Cole. I want to see what he does. I want to see what they do with him. And on the flip side, if AJ Styles were to get drafted to NXT, now you're breaking it up even more. You're giving yourself more opportunity. I know you still think of NXT as a third brand or a minor league brand or whatever the hell they
or the developmental. Yeah,
I know. I don't know, whatever they think of it as, it's not. And if you bring some of the highest talent pool in NXT and you put them against people that you may never see them against, like if Daniel Bryan gets drafted back to NXT
or to NXT in the first place, he's never been in NXT.
He was with the Nexus.
Well, not
this, not in this NXT. NXT. Okay. You got me. But if Daniel Bryan goes back down to NXT or back to NXT, don't you fucking start with me.
If anybody
gets drafted and they go to NXT, now you have more potential. You have more opportunity. You have matchups that you might not have seen in years. Like, you'll get old ROH guys back together, like kind of passing of the guard type thing. I mean, not only that, but it's something different. I think they need that. And in WWE, they kind of need that, especially on Wednesdays. If they're going to keep running on Wednesdays, you're going to want the eyes on you. Mm-hmm. Who's going to get you the eyes? You bring AJ Styles back down and have matches with Gargano, Ciampa, and all them. I mean, there's your hook.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan comes down and tears it up with Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor. Well, he's fought Finn before, but yeah. Adam Cole, you get where I'm going with this, people. It's something needed. It's a win, win, win. All of the wins. But go ahead, continue.
So it really, I mean, to even keep this conversation going, it kind of doesn't matter where everyone ended up then to you. As far as Friday and Monday, like, it don't matter. As far as, like, you really could care less anyway.
For the current talent pool?
What we have watched the last two nights.
It all feels like it's the same no matter what.
Yeah.
It all feels like it's the same. And no matter who you it's just their system is that you pluck one person out, you put one person in. And it just feels like it's too robotic.
Well, I mean, but it's plug and play.
I mean, it feels like that no matter what, you're going to get some variation of the same thing.
Yeah, but I think there's not new rosters and where people went with KO, Sami Zayn, going to the same brand with...
I mean, I will never badmouth a Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens head-to-head ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. It's just that those two together have me invested, and I genuinely want to see what they're going to do. But, I mean, the only other storyline right now that has me even remotely invested is probably still Roman and the Usos.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's...
I know... We have talked in the past about the Mysterio and Rollins and
I mean, I know it gets more intricate and they changed it up a little bit, but once it gets to like 3-4 months, like Orton and McIntyre, I just want that to end. I know Orton's doing great right now. He's doing some of his best heel work, right? Or some of his best. I mean, he's usually really good at whenever he's a heel. So it's just that he's not winning. You don't see him winning that title. It seems like they're just trying to kill time and to kill time and to kill time. Unless... If Orton wins somehow in Hell in a Cell, will this somehow be a payoff for the... But it's just, again, another way for them to continue the story. I just want it to end.
Now, I think with Hell in a Cell, as we all have learned from the past, that usually this is where the feuds end. And they look like, from what them brawling last night at the end, that's what I think they're building to. They're building Hell in a Cell. You don't come out the same. This is where it all ends. So I think it is over. This is it. And I think Drew obviously will walk away with it. with the title, I don't think Randy's winning at all.
Again, it's just, you say that and I'm supposed to have like this reaction to it, but it's like, it's kind of like, eh, okay. Yeah.
So,
all right, that's fine.
I know. So, all that aside,
I should be more invested in WWE. Like, I should like be excited. I just feel like there's nothing that's overly exciting about it right now.
Probably the most dominant thing from the draft is the New Day breaking up, because you're getting things that you wanted.
Okay, well, that's a positive, because I think that as much as I hate to say that, I never wanted really the New Day to break up, but Big E going his own separate way after this could be something great. I mean, obviously, Xavier and Kofi are the tag team champions right now, so you know they're still on top, and they'll always probably be right around on top.
Yeah.
But Big E hasn't had a singles run in when he was with Ziggler, but was that even, I guess that's considered,
he was doing with singles matches,
kind of a singles run,
yeah,
as the muscle, but yeah. It's just that is a good plus. That is something that's shocking. That's something that you weren't seeing company coming. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I know you're going to say is having machinery getting broken up, but again, that really, I think they need to stay as a tag team. I don't like the way that they're going, because this is, to a very, very lesser extent, this is Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, where Tucker will probably fall by the wayside, and there looks like they're going to invest in Otis.
Maybe.
Like I said, very, very, very small comparison, and not on the same scale or level at all, but it's just that they need to stay a tag team. Their tag team division isn't great. Like, they need the tag teams. They already know that they don't invest in tag teams.
I'll give you they need to stay together because of their tag team division. But that's the only reason I agree with you, because their tag team division sucks. But on the other hand, I do like it, because look, Tucker, sink or swim. I haven't seen anything that says that I have to watch him. I want to get invested.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Have you seen anything in Otis that...
Yeah, Otis has charisma. Otis gets over. He's funny.
He's must watch? Did you personally say you must watch?
Must watch Otis? Me? No. No.
Just trying to debunk your theory.
But there's a lot more people that like Otis than don't.
Really? We don't know. That's not a fact. We're not going to fact check that. I don't know if that's a fact or not.
I'm just saying that he was so over, and he had gotten over just because of the way he was. People just, for some reason, could just get a hold of Otis and understand where he was coming from. And it was the whole pretty girl thing and trying to get the girl at WrestleMania, all that built into it, and then him getting the briefcase. But
and then what happened Tucker, to that?
Not, apparently a delayed lawsuit by The Miz. But Tucker, you haven't seen anything from Tucker.
I don't know why they did that to him. I don't know why they gave him the briefcase. They had plans. They knew what their plans were. He didn't fit anywhere in their plan. Like, that briefcase shouldn't even been on the line for anybody, because no one that you could see that was in that match is going to cash in on the two champions. Because it doesn't look like they want to. It doesn't look like WWE wants to give it up right now. You know they don't want to give it up on Roman. They're planning something big for Roman.
Yeah.
And I think McIntyre's sitting at the top for a while too. I think they're very happy with their, aside from maybe Bayley, I think they're happy with their champions.
Like, I think they are too.
Like, but the main titles, like the main men's and main women's title, the only one that I can see really changing would be maybe Bayley. And
yeah.
That's only because they're running that feud again. And whenever they run that feud, it's like, okay, this could go either way.
I think Money in the Bank briefcase has diminished each year it has won. I mean, the women are different because it's more new with the women, because they haven't been doing it as long as they have with the men. But the men's, it's really starting to fall by the wayside every time somebody wins, because it's just the meaning of it is going away. It's not.
You think that started with Sandow? You think he started when Sandow, or did Cena do it first when Cena called his shot?
I think calling your shot diminishes the briefcase. Absolutely. You take away the whole idea. Kyle, what's up? Any chance that they turn Big E heel?
Now that he's alone, yes. I think there's more money in him, or not money, like physical money where you're going to buy merch and shit, but I think there's more money on him turning heel after all of the face work that he's done over the past
What makes McMahon more money? Him being entertaining and being good in the ring, or him being a dick and still good in the ring? I think it makes more sense for Vince. He don't have to be a goof all the time. Like, he can still be funny and still be really serious when he gets to the ring. I don't think he has to turn heel, but I do think he needs new entrance music, new gear. He cannot come out with New Day stuff on.
Wouldn't that be perfect for a heel turn? To completely
denounce
yourself from the New Day?
But you don't,
to go back to the five count?
I don't.
I
would love the five count, well, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Great. I mean, they don't really have a guy like that. They tried to do it with Strowman, but I mean, Big E used to do it. I think if they turn him heel, it'll make for a great baby face eventually. So, I mean, you would never expect him to turn. So I think, why not?
I'm not saying I don't think it's a good idea. I just, at this point, I think they got to ease into it.
Problem with turning him heel right now is that you know he's not going after that title.
Yeah.
For Roman.
Yes, so of course.
Because Roman's playing his
tweener
heel work right now. So you know they're not going to stack the two biggest heels against each other. So that's the only problem with turning him heel, is that he'll be running mid-card heel work, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you know that's not going to get him to the title. I think if he becomes like an over babyface, which I do think he's got one of the best potentials on the SmackDown brand right now to do, you could see that being a title feud between Big E and Roman.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, so New Day wanted the five count. I'm sure they do, though. They're so supportive of what all three of them do that they want to see each one of each other succeed as much as possible. I mean, that's not a gimmick that they say when they're doing interviews.
Well, that solidifies him as that badass, too. He starts doing that five count again. Like, he ups himself big time.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love that. But he definitely, I'm praying when the next time we see Big E, all right, he may not have to have, no, he has to have different music. He cannot have a New Day. I almost talked myself out of it. No, I want new music and new attire from Big E, regardless whether he's a heel or a babyface, because he needs to separate immediately. They can still do the New Day thing as the tag team.
And it looks like they're going to.
And that's fine. So you still get part of it, but Big E needs to be more of an individual, and he can't ride that New Day thing as a singles.
Mr. Excitement again says he'd love to see him go out there, Sammy. I could second that 100%. If he's going to play that face role, that would be great.
Yeah.
Intercontinental feud. Yeah. And it'd be something new.
And the promo back and forth would be great.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And
you can get invested in that one real quick.
Yeah. He's been doing his best work. Sammy has been amazing.
I was saying that to the other day, like how surprised, I was surprised, but I shouldn't have been surprised about how good of a heel Sami Zayn is.
Yeah.
So
I think we forget, because he's been gone so long, we haven't seen him. He comes back and he's top notch immediate. Like, doesn't miss a beat whatsoever. And I'm glad they brought back the fake IC title, a la the Shawn Michaels and
the fake
Razor. Well, like the imposter, because he was the real champ, but AJ and Jeff, they weren't. That whole angle, I love that. You know what I mean? Other Intercontinental Champion. He's the real Intercontinental Champion. He was never beat. I love that, because they do it all the time in wrestling. And that's one of my favorite things, especially with the IC title. You look like you were about to say something.
I was, but then it didn't become important anymore.
All right, so I think we can move on from the draft and move on to AEW. Because AEW has...
A birthday.
1 year, celebrating it tomorrow night on TNT. And the card for tomorrow night, all the titles on the line. And it looks like could be one of the best since the first Dynamite, because it's just amazing. I think it's going to be really, really
fun.
So
it's safe to say that they're going
to
win the ratings war tomorrow, right?
Yeehaw! Yeah, it's safe to say they will win the ratings tomorrow night. Absolutely. But Cody and Orange Cassidy, I think... Anything with Orange Cassidy draws me in, though. It's not
Cody. You got Archer versus
Moxley.
Yes.
So that'll be the main event.
Yeah.
And you got Cassidy versus Cody.
Mm-hmm.
You got Swole versus
Cheetah. Mm-hmm.
Tag titles
are on the line.
Who are they facing?
FTR is facing.
Is it Best Friends?
Is it Best Friends? Can we get a little help? Yes.
Best Friends?
Yeah, it is Best Friends.
Am I missing anything? Is it FTW title on the line?
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it announced yet, but I know those are the big four are definitely on the line. So,
I mean, yeah, it's a really good card, and mix anything else in. I mean,
yeah, you know, Jericho is going to something's going to happen big with Jericho. He's going to do something coming off his 30 years.
That clown back elbow shot, my God. Like, it looked like he hated him for so long. It looked like
he dug into that one.
Knowing Jericho, like, it could have been like something like he hated him for so long, but he probably he probably dropped the door on him accidentally after like going through the door. Jericho's behind him.
The dude looked like a 19-year-old kid. How Jericho?
No, but that's what I'm saying. The ego of Jericho. It's kind of like the walls, but it's completely different.
Yeah.
Just doing that to him. Do you know who I am? And just fucking hits him with the bat. He's like, oh, fuck, I'm fucked. That just looked so fucking brutal.
It did look very real and very hard. And it could have been a little snug. And I'm sure the kid felt it, or whoever it was felt it. But, I mean, going forward in the year that AEW had, since it's been AOW Dynamite 1 year, after looking back now, what do you think as a product? How do you think this is going to last a long time? Or do you buy into critics that say it'll be gone in 5 or 6 years?
I can't predict what's going to happen in 5 to 6 years. But, I mean, I don't think the numbers are there for wrestling as it is. Like, I know WWE with Raw and SmackDown, they hold the main numbers.
Yeah.
But they're not even that impressive. Like, those numbers aren't even that impressive.
They're
so
not.
The overall numbers aren't really there. So, yeah, if they can withstand, like, 1 million views for the first year or two when fans are allowed back and they start to maybe get to 1.2, if they can keep their dominating Wednesday nights, if you want to say that, then, yeah, I think they'll be around for 5 years. It's all dependent on what it turns into and if the egos can get checked and if the booking doesn't fall apart, because it does walk the line of WCW back in the day where you can see that, okay, you got the billionaire backing them, but I will give them this. Tony Khan is definitely more pro wrestling.
Oh, by far.
Yeah. More than Ted Turner ever was. Far. Like, he wants to be very involved with it. So that's a saving grace right there, is where he's the billionaire, yes, but he actually has say in what's going on.
Yeah, and is a wrestling fan. That matters.
But to not ever be in the business and love the business, and pretty much your bookers, your head bookers are the talent. I mean, you can see how that could take a wrong turn somewhere and turn into WCW all over again. Like, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it definitely could happen.
You could see a problem would come up.
And I'll tell you what, right now, the way if Cody's booking himself the way Cody is right now, I hate it. I hate the fact that he's
not a big fan of what Cody's doing. He's
basically telling you, okay, so they said I wasn't good enough. I'm going to get the booking decisions myself, but I'm just going to book myself to continue to win.
Mm-hmm.
I will show them that I'm good enough by just booking myself to win. I mean, it's negative or whatever, but it's just what it seems like. It just seems like Cody is just booking himself as this massive. He's Triple H booking.
It is Triple H booking. It's WWE booking, and that's what it is.
I'm just not a fan of it. And he's got people blinded. I'm just not a fan by how
Cody has become very predictable
in absolutely
everything he does in AEW. And don't get us wrong, we are huge fans of Kobe on Kobe.
Well,
Kobe too.
We were Kobe's fans of Kobe's Kobe, but Cody but is who we're
Cody
talking
is
about.
Who we're talking about. New Japan, Ring of Honor, he was great. It seems like once AEW started, you know he's going to bleed every time. 2 minutes in, he's broken open. For big matches, he lets it all hang out. He bleeds every single time. And most of the time, you know he's going to walk away with the win. I mean, granted, he has booked a couple of his losses, but I'm telling you, Cody books the same all the time. That's why the TNT title doesn't hold as much clout as I thought it was going to, because I thought it was going to be defended differently and booked differently, for that matter.
I don't know. It's just that he goes into every match. He changes hair color and he changes this attitude. It's just that it doesn't do anything for me. It's going to that bland kind of character.
You think Cody's bland as far as the character he's playing anyway?
I do. I think it's getting stale. I think it's like it's forced. Mm-hmm. What once was natural now feels very rehearsed and forced. Like it feels like the same thing over and over again. Like it's like that overly proud, empathetic baby face where it's just like, yeah, we get it. But maybe if you just dial it back a little bit.
So
he's getting corny. Is that what you're trying to get out of
these? So the ultimate answer by all wrestling fans is turn him heel. No?
I mean, will he be better? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But should he still be champion? Should he still be booking himself to win? No. If you're the heel now, you got to start taking losses.
Yeah.
You got to start making these baby faces look really, really good. Well, and you can't just have good matches. He knows that you can't just have good matches and we made you look good. We made you look like the star that you should be.
Yeah.
He's got to start losing some matches. He's got to start putting some people over. If he's going to turn heel, like I get at this baby face, I'm against the other authority. I'm breaking big chairs with sledgehammers, throws with sledgehammers. I'm the anti-authority, but I'm going to book myself to win like I'm still the authority. Like, give it all that. Turn heel, start putting over some baby faces. Start making a name. Start making these guys. You're one of the big names. Start making them names. Turn heel.
I can't argue with that. Yeah, so there's some chat we got to look at. Joe, you want to address them since you're the one reading them?
I love Cody, but seriously, F him after last week. Still better than that. Still bitter about that finish. All right.
A lot of people are bitter about that finish because it's Cody getting the title again.
I mean, if you explain why you're bitter, I mean, I think I get why you're bitter is that you just kind of, you hurt what you had with
Brody Lee. I think that's why a lot of people are frustrated is Brody Lee needed this. He
was good with this. He was good for this. He was the guy that you brought over who was never good enough. And you can't have that conflicting, okay, we're both brought over here and we're both trying to prove we're good enough for this freaking crazy wrestling world that we're in. So one of us has got to lose. Oh, sorry. It's got to be you, Brody.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, okay. Yeah. So for those who are watching this live and are wondering why we just stop, our producer is talking to us.
I like how you put that in.
is talking to us as we're doing the show, and you guys can't hear him, but we can. So he's letting us know.
I'm here. They can hear me real quick right now. I'm just stopping in. I've been reading them your chat messages as much as I can.
Yeah.
Okay. Now go away.
So thanks, Bill.
Basically, that's what it is. We're trying to multitask here. If you've ever watched our show prior to this without us going live, we do not know how to multitask very well. No. So we're trying to read what you're writing and answer. We're working at it. Yeah. This is our first. It's not an episode. It's a Twitch.
Exactly. So, I mean, you were reading, so I assume you came away with something.
It's just. It's the whole.
He would be less stale. Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think that's the biggest thing is that he needed it. He could have taken that a whole nother way if he would have held on to the title and giving it right back to Cody. Yeah, you're right. It puts us right back to where we were.
Dark Order was already. They were already kind of teetering on that line of being like more of a, are we taking them serious or are they a joke? Or what way are we going to lean with them? And then Brody Lee, he lost the Mox. And I think that hurt him. I think that's when they started teetering. And then he beat Cody convincingly.
Clean.
He kicked the shit out of him.
So now Cody just comes in and, oh, he changed his hair color and he put on 14 pounds of lean muscle, drug-free, brother. And he just wanted to run wild all over the place. And he did. That's what he did. He ran wild, brother.
He did.
It's that old school mentality of like that baby face, that ultimate baby face.
We were talking about this on Saturday night.
And he tries to, here's the thing. He wants to revive and rehash and redo the changing of the guard and make wrestling better. But he still goes back to those. That very, very ingrained old school mentality.
Blood. It's dusty. It's
never going to change that way. It's never going to change. About.
I know.
It's never going to change when it's what they did back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. It's just.
Who grew up in the 70s, 80s, 90s under one of the most influential pro wrestlers of all time?
He's our age, so he grew up in the 80s and 90s.
I said 80s, 90s.
You said 70s.
Did I say
70s? Yeah, we
my check, fault.
Check
my
tape.
Fault. My
check
fault.
Tape. I did rock it in high school.
So, I mean,
pop.
That's the biggest thing with Cody is it's always gonna be a circle. It's gonna always come back around, and it's never gonna change if Cody is still the champ, and he has to book himself differently. Jericho is the GOAT for putting everybody over.
Yeah, I mean,
I couldn't agree more.
And he does in different ways. That's the thing. Jericho is he's the master of reinvention. There's no one better than Chris Jericho reinventing himself. And he has. And he will continue to, like, he put over Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
We can freaking go down the list of people that Jericho put over. Just recently, he put over Orange Cassidy in a freaking mimosa match, in a gimmick match.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it protects him a little bit because he got thrown into a thing in Mimosa. He didn't get pinned.
True.
He got beat, though. He took the L.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you can do it that way. You can protect yourself and still lose.
Yeah, but Cody doesn't have all that.
He doesn't have that clout.
Exactly.
He doesn't have history. He doesn't have, and might not ever have what Chris Jericho will top any promotion that he goes into. Cody might never do that. So he's taking full advantage of this right now, of the promotion that he is in control of. He can never go anywhere else and be the champion. So this is what he's doing. Like, and this is, it's really messed up to say, but that's what it seems like. It's unfortunate to say that. And I know we're trying to be all positive for the 1 year anniversary of AEW, but let's be realistic for a second there and criticize where you can, because a lot of the other stuff, their tag team division is still stacked. AEW's tag team division is great.
Best in wrestling, no one close.
The women's division needs a little help. Their mid-card is very good. Different characters that they can intermix.
Yeah.
And I don't like that they don't feature enough people, but, I mean,
Dark is probably one of the best things for that. They do a really good job with Dark. I don't think enough people watch it, me included. I don't watch it at all. I've watched maybe 5 episodes.
Good thing to put out there.
I really don't. I'm not going to lie. I don't watch it. I don't look for it on YouTube, but I know a lot of people still do. And I probably really should. But they do feature a lot of up-and-comers, a lot of people in the indies that you may never have heard of if it wasn't for AEW.
I mean, it kind of hurts them that it's not live and on TV. So you get that, you get these people that the views that you want. But I mean, for the non-lazy people, it's just as easy to go over to YouTube and watch it whenever. So you can get and familiarize yourself with people that could be called up. Like, I think that's the split. Like, they're not getting called up because they're not getting the views and they don't feel like they generated enough buzz with these people yet. So they're not going to bring them up unless it's a squash match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But, so, I mean, altogether with AEW, they are a great alternative. You can't knock over that.
Look, I watch them every week. Every week.
So I watch that over NXT.
But when you watch something every week and you see some of the same stuff over and over again, you start to question yourself, like, why is this deemed different? Why is this deemed better when some things are still the same going on? Like, well, the whole Cody thing.
And I mean, it's just that it's still different. They might book, they have a couple that book the same, but there's still a lot of stuff they do that WWE can't do.
But here's what I don't like is that the reason it doesn't look different to some is that because they're relying on some of the people that left the company they were just at.
Yes, I know.
That's why they don't really, I know they're a completely different entity than WWE, but they're still kind of
just an off brand because they had the, they don't have those no names that they can just put in there and make them stars. They need to rely on the stars that they just got from somewhere else. Like, look, who's your champion? John Moxley, who just came from WWE, is one of their main champions, what, 2 years prior?
Yeah.
And now he's the champion of your company.
It's who was your last two TNT champions? Cody and Brody Lee. Lee.
And then your first champion was Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that they want to do things differently and what they, but and look, FTR is the tag team champion. So look, I mean,
which, see, I wouldn't say is a shoe in anyway because of all the great tag teams.
But as soon as they came over, you knew that they were winning the title. It was just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And you knew that they were coming in and that was going to be what they were doing.
Yeah.
They threw shade at the Bucks, but that was just about it. I know that they're going to build that or try to build that for something spectacular, but I mean, you knew that they were coming in and they were winning gold.
Yeah,
you knew Jericho was going to have gold eventually. You knew Cody was going to have gold eventually. You knew Moxley was going to have gold eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you knew it. And Miro's in now and he's in a tag team, but could go off and he could be split off to win this TNT title like that.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it you, really, you know, he could be next and we don't know. And it could
you
be
know coming, that they're there. Weeks. You know that they're there and they carry that weight. They carry those views from WWE. So you know that they're going to be used. They're not coming over to just work guys and put them over. They're coming in to show. Now they're here to show what they've been missed out on.
And I think so the other reason you watch that as a former WWE fan and maybe jaded WWE fan who's watching AEW and watching these guys go to AEW, the one thing I think people actually live for is the comment like, you can take the brass ring and shove it up your ass. Like, they look for the digs. They want to hear these former employees blow up the WWE and Vince McMahon and badmouth them. They want to see it. Like, oh, I wonder what Miro's going to say the second he gets on the mic. Wonder what he's going to say about WWE. That's what some people are watching them for, period. And AEW is all right with that because they're still watching. But it's just a very childish thing to watch for.
It's weird. It's weird to watch for that.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see them do better, but not, but be bitter. Do you want to see them be better or bitter? I mean, you can't have them both. You can't have them both ways. I mean, yeah. I'd rather them come in and put that on the back burner, not even reference that, but you come in and you throw shots at the competition that doesn't even acknowledge you really. I mean, what does that say? That's it's the whole younger brother. Look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
Just get off of that. Go ahead. So to the talent that was brought in originally before the big names of the WWE came in, Mr. Excitement, I'll address that. So it says that they were just there to be spot fillers until we got the card that we wanted in. And now you're going to be, I mean, you have the contract, you're still getting paid. I mean, I'm not really going to feel bad for them, but you're relegated. Now you're relegated to dark and now you're going to head up that.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad he said Janela because I've had a problem with how Janela has been booked from the beginning of AEW, especially because.
Well, no. Okay. He had that great match with Adam Page, with Hangman Adam Page. And then they kind of went different trajectories.
Yeah. Well, and not only that.
But there's two people in that match, and they both put on a hell of a show. I'm going to keep cutting you off.
Go ahead.
As things keep coming, and people already know this, and I'm
going to
do this.
Just keep going. It's just, you don't have to explain. Just keep going.
There were two people in that match. Two people showed out.
Yeah.
I mean, you had them both at this level. Why did all of a sudden you went this way with one, and you went this way with another? Like, you had them both there. Like, you, Janela is that person that is not that WWE cut person. He's that guy that is going to be that. I know. And those old school fans that watch those Cornette backers and whatnot, they're going to see Janela and be like, oh, this backyarder, he doesn't deserve to be on TV, but he's at something different. He's at something different that you said that you were going to do since the incarnation of this company.
Yeah.
He's part of that something different.
But yeah, way different.
Yes.
Yes. Than anyone you see on TV. And
I'll throw Scorpio. He mentioned Scorpio Sky as well. And he's another one that he's already shown that he's probably the most athletic person on that roster. All you need to do is put him in. He showed out against Cody and then they put him on the back burner. Now he's going to protect Cody because now we're all of a sudden friends. But I mean, he is that potential to be that standout person of SCU and could potentially be high mid-card or even main event title picture. He's that good. Sure. Yeah. There's people that you have that are talented in different ways that should be getting opportunities that aren't, because you only have 2 hours of TV time and you already have that relegated for everybody else that you just brought in.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to get their time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Janela is that guy that can pull the indie fans in. And that's, I think, a big miss, because that is
what they're just waiting. They're waiting for it. They just, like, there's people that they're bringing in from the indies now. Like, you can see them,
yeah,
filtering them in on Dark and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's pull the trigger for TV. I mean, all you had to do, what did they do in WCW? And I know that we're saying that AEW shouldn't fall down the same hole as WCW, but what WCW did that was great was that they featured the luchadors. They featured something that
the cruiserweights. Yes. Yeah.
The cruiserweights. That's something that WWE wasn't doing. They didn't have a strong, like, if you put these crazy, people want to see people go through tables.
Yeah.
And if you can get that weekly in a different fashion or something crazy like that, I mean, look at the viewers you're going to get. Even if it's not, it doesn't have to be an hour, because they only have 2 hours of TV time. Just do a half hour, 15 minutes, one match.
One segment is all those indie darlings need. And a Janela needs, if he's featured on TNT for 15 minutes, or that group Sonny Kiss and all them are featured for 15 minutes, that's enough, because that's something different.
How else do you get someone else over? How do you think Darby Allin got over? Because you put him out there once, he did something crazy stupid, mm-hmm. and look, you pop for it, and he wears face paint. Cool.
Yeah.
You have so many other people on that roster that can do that same thing, that can get over that same way organically. Why is everyone afraid of someone to get over organically? AEW is the same way. They're afraid for someone to get over organically. They know who they want to push. They have this agenda as well. You're not getting over organically that way. Because you come from WWE already, you're not getting over organically. You have a preface it that you're coming in and you already are over. Now you left the company and you're going somewhere else and you're over for that.
Yeah,
it's not organically. It just happens to be the way it is. Like, they don't have people.
It's popularity.
It's a fucking popularity contest. It is. You have people that are there that can. And Jungle Boy's right on that cusp.
Yeah.
He's as over as he's going to be right now, but he could be that next, like, really over pure babyface. And he has the lineage to do it. I mean, he's got the backstory to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could play off of that Hollywood.
Of course you could. Yeah.
And that could be perfect. But I mean, here we are fucking 1 year in and we're trying to rebook the whole fucking company.
We are.
Why do we do this?
Always.
Why do we do this to ourselves?
Always. So I do want to touch on one more thing. We will be wrapping it up soon. And I wanted to touch on this entire weekend that was in wrestling, because the collective
run. That was a good segue too. Indie wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. the collective was running this weekend. And I mean, the amount of events, the amount of wrestling from Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I mean, it
12 was 12 events, 3 days.
It was amazing. And it was great. It was exactly what we needed back in April that got canceled. Like, that would have been perfect timing. And obviously, I understand why it was canceled. I'm not saying it shouldn't have been. But it was just from all the different events, from the women's events, from Bloodsport, from For the Culture. There was so many different styles of wrestling that anybody could get into. Janela's Spring Break was another one. It was perfect. It was a great weekend to be a wrestling fan.
I'm still getting caught up. I'm still three shows behind, because it was so much. Like, if you don't actually have that time to designate to, it's
who has that time?
12 to 2?
Yeah.
12 to 2 a.m. roughly?
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. But from what I did see, it was just, it was like a breath of fresh air of wrestling. Like, mm-hmm. the wrestling that mm-hmm. some aren't craving, but you want to see. Like, you want to see some of the names that you don't get to see on TV every week, but they were on fire. Like the Alex Zanes, the Blake Christians, the Chris Dickinson's, AJ Gray.
Yeah.
I'm just getting ready to say him. And then you get the Lee Moriarty's and Jonathan Gresham shows up. Like, they had, and Tony Deppen. You just, all these people that you look forward to seeing on IWTV every week or Fight TV every week, they're all in the same place and they're putting on a 3-day, 36 hour fucking shows.
Yeah.
It's just,
if you haven't watched it at all, go Fight TV. And even if you're picking out certain events, whatever you pick is worth it. I mean, you can buy the bundle. I think the bundle's $140. It's really actually worth that. It really is. Fight TV absolutely is awesome, and the event, it couldn't be any better. If you're a wrestling fan, period, you don't just have to be an indie fan. If you're a WWE or AEW fan, this is amazing.
The comment of Joey Janela's spring break was almost 5 hours long. That's because the clusterfuck was an hour and a half on
Yeah.
It just kept piling people out. Piling people out. That was... It's just, it's that different that we were just talking about. It's that...
That is legitimately different.
It's that... But the thing is that AEW could get that. AEW has the ability to get that feeling, get that raw emotion and passion from fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not the fake generated ones, but like they can get that indie, those indie pops. Like, they have the talent to do so.
Yeah, by far. And can bring in more of
it. I mean, look, this weekend, Jon Moxley showed up for Bloodsport,
which was a great
match. I will say this. AEW lets their talent do indie shows still.
Mm-hmm.
That is fucking great.
Well,
that might be my favorite part about
AEW. I think it also depends on their contract with AEW as well.
Yeah, but you're still seeing people like Orange Cassidy show up. You're seeing Joey Janela, obviously, running his own promotion and a show against Ricky fucking Morton. And you're seeing Moxley at Bloodsport. You're seeing AEW talent get to do things, which I think is very – like that. I think that might legitimately be my favorite part of AEW, is that we get to see them – like, those are those matchups that you say you want on AEW, but you still get them
Indies? Yes. Yeah. As long as you're into the indies, you can get to see that.
But I think that's cool. Like, WWE ever do that? Like, if WWE ever...
Aside from Evolve.
Okay. But that doesn't count.
Yeah.
They're dead and gone. Yeah. But anyway, right now, I'll pose this question. You only get to pick one person. If right now WWE were to allow only one person to be their ambassador to go work the indies, who would you pick? I already have one.
Do you really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, who's yours?
Daniel Bryan.
Yours is Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan going back and run through the talent of the indie scene right now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. 100%.
And
I would already book 10 matches right now.
Yeah, see, I don't know who I would. I mean, Sami Zayn.
I can still see Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn would probably be my first
pick. If Sami Zayn is able to work the indies, is he able to work the indies as El Generico?
Yes. Yeah, so that's what I want.
Sami Zayn still works WWE, but El Generico
is in the indies. Yes.
I'm on board for that.
Yeah. That would be my pick.
That would be fun.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, speaking of this weekend.
Okay.
We recorded a show with Matt Mikowski last night. Great show, coming off of the weekend. We caught him a half hour or so after he had landed and got home. He drove.
But unless he flew his car.
The conversation that we had with Matt going through that weekend and how the safety protocols for COVID were with all those wrestlers and all those shows.
And we talked Bloodsport.
Of course, we talked Bloodsport. And not only that, the differences between we had him on over a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. where he was going to be participating in his first Bloodsport, and now we're catching him after this one. And to see where he has gone since that interview that we did with him till now, especially wrestling Dickinson and
Beyond
the main event. Like it's gone really far for him, really good. So release tomorrow morning. Check all outlets and check it out, because it's a really good conversation with a guy who was just at the Collective. So you can hear firsthand how he dealt with it and how it was. So
I think that's it for being twitched.
I think it's it. So make sure you follow, like, subscribe, everything you can do to help us out. Subscribe to our YouTube.
Because we want to quit our jobs and do this professionally, obviously.
Yeah, for real. Like, this would be great. I mean, I guess we would be good at it, but you decide.
Don't doubt me.
So, and also,
while you're watching on Twitch, follow on Twitch.
Yeah, but if not watching, and this is a weekly thing, and you haven't watched Twitch, go over to our...
Why don't you just tell me the Twitch to go to?
twitch.tv/brotherlylovewrestling. Make sure to subscribe and follow us. And then you can participate like the people were on this this Twitch. And not only that, you can see us randomly stop and look at
nothing. Thank you. We love you.
Batista?
Yeah.
Nice. So thank you for watching. We hope you enjoyed, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Later.